Hello and welcome to The Bookmonger. I'm John J. Miller of National Review. Thanks for listening. This show is a production of National Review and we're recording from the studio WRFH, the campus radio station of Hillsdale College. Our guest is Michael Pack, co-author of Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words. Michael, welcome to The Bookmonger.
Thank you for having me on, John.
Explain the format of this book. It's biographical, but it's not a conventional biography.
That puts it well. Well, it's based on the documentary that my company, Manifold Productions, produced with the same name that was released in movie theaters and on PBS and streaming. And your listeners can still watch it if they go to our website, manifoldproductions.com. They can find out where to stream it, but Amazon is one possibility. When I did that documentary, I interviewed Justice Thomas and his wife, Ginny, and they're the only interviews. And I interviewed them for 30 hours, 24 hours for Justice Thomas and 6 for Ginny, over several months. And that's really more access than any Supreme Court justice has given anyone in the history of the Supreme Court. And we were very honored that Justice Thomas trusted us with that. The documentary and the book tells his entire life story from the very beginning up to today. And because the documentary was 2 hours long, there was a lot from that interview that didn't make it into the film. And many, many people who liked the documentary asked to hear more. And, you know, there's a fascination with Justice Thomas that is easy to understand and totally justified. So to fulfill those demands, we took the interview and we edited it into a book, my co-author Mark Paletta and I. So the format of the book is a conversation between me and Justice Thomas, but it covers his entire life. And as you know, John, and probably many of your listeners know, his life is very dramatic.
I've heard of movies that are made from books. This is a book that's made from a movie. What's his story? What's the drama?
He was born in Pinpoint, Georgia, outside of Savannah, into a Gullah-speaking area, so English not his first language, into people who were largely uneducated. His mother moved to Savannah when he was 6 or 7 years old, and as he said, he went from rural poverty to urban squalor. This was the segregated South, and he was really poor, and his mother could barely support them, and he was cold in the winter and hungry, and she'd drop him off for school, and he would just leave and wander the streets. And after a couple of years of that, his mother realized she couldn't take care of her two boys, left him with his grandfather, her father, to raise. And that turned his life around. His grandfather gave him discipline and hard work and enrolled him in a parochial school where the nuns also gave him discipline, hard work, and a great education. Justice Thomas's life changed. But his grandfather himself was functionally illiterate, had less than a third grade education. So he came from real poverty and turned his life around and embraced his grandfather's values. And then in the 60s, he came to reject all that. He had even gone so far as to enroll and decided he wanted to become a priest. And he enrolled in, he entered a minor seminary and then a seminary. But as the 60s rolled on, he got disenchanted. He experienced some racism in the all-white seminary that he was one of the first black students to attend. And he rejected all of his grandfather's vows, and he became a radical. This was the 60s, and he liked Malcolm X and Stokely Carmichael and black power advocates and the Panthers. And his grandfather kicked him out of the house, and he was on his own, and he went to Holy Cross, which gave him a scholarship, and he engaged in radical student activity there, a walkout, and other things. But finally, that burned itself out. He realized that there was no future in that. He was engaged in anti-war protests that turned into a riot. He didn't like what he'd become. And he finally began to return both to the Catholic Church that his grandfather raised him in and his grandfather's core values. And so that itself is a dramatic story.
You mentioned his grandfather, and his grandfather plays a huge role in Clarence Thomas's 2007 memoir, which is called My Grandfather's Son. How is Created Equal, your new book, different from that memoir?
I strongly recommend readers read both. The memoir was over 15 years ago. A lot has happened, and both chronologically in his life, and he's reflected on it differently. And we cover, for example, the years on the court, which his memoir does not cover. But also, this is a conversation, so you get to hear Justice Thomas thinking aloud about subjects rather than, you see how his mind works, and you see him, you know, we allow him to speak at great length, and you see how he comes to understand both his life and the sort of many of the issues facing the Supreme Court. So it's very different, but it does cover some of the same material, and I actually think readers will want to read both.
Michael, you're a veteran maker of documentaries. You've done shows on lots of important, famous figures. I suppose you could have done a documentary on a lot of great living statesmen, important people from our time. Why did you want to do a show and now a book on Clarence Thomas?
Initially, mutual friends had let me know that they were concerned about the one-sided coverage of Clarence Thomas and the sort of lies and misinformation that was circulating about him. And there was interest in doing something. And I decided I would meet with Justice Thomas and see if there was a project there. And once you meet him, I think you have met him, John. You know that he is a fascinating man. I knew little about his life. I read the memoir that you mentioned. And I saw that there was a great story here, a great American story coming from the segregated South and dire poverty to the highest court in the land. And he himself is a great storyteller, which is not with a wonderful voice, which you don't always get in a documentary subject. So I quickly recognized the importance of the topic. And then as we worked on it, a lot of the issues that it deals with became more and more central to American life, you know, for both good and bad reasons, such as race, such as affirmative action, now Roe and controversies about the court, and the Kavanaugh hearing, which was in some ways similar in structure to the Thomas hearing. So it became more and more relevant and became more and more fascinating as I worked on it.
You've devoted your life to making documentaries, and many have aired on PBS and other places. What is the power of a documentary? What can it do that no other form of media can accomplish?
Well, documentaries can give you a kind of depth. You know, you don't just get a quick overview of an issue, but you get to learn about it deeply. Well, Clarence Thomas film is a good example. You get to hear him thinking, get to know him as a person, see what's behind his thoughts. I mean, we're very happy that it was on PBS, and even people who don't agree with Clarence Thomas, that is the majority of their audience, were able to listen to him and at least hear what he had to say. And so I'm not sure it changed that many of those people's minds, but at least they knew and understood the other point of view and understood it deeply, where it came from his life. And you can't get that if you don't have at least 2 hours to tell the story. You cannot get that in a 2 or 3 minute piece, especially on the news.
Is it a challenge to get a documentary on a conservative figure aired on PBS?
It is a challenge. I mean, I've been doing it for many years, so I have that experience. And I worked for a while as Senior Vice President of Programming at the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, so I know a lot of the people. But PBS gets a chunk of money from the federal government, $500 million about a year, to both public television and public radio, and they are obligated by law to reflect the views of the entire American people and to be objective and fair in their reporting. And so they have an obligation to air right-of-center films in addition to left-of-center films, and I think that they should be held to that. I have to say, in defense of PBS, that they love this film, Created Equal. They were supportive from beginning to end. The president of PBS thought it was important to have on PBS, and they gave me unflagging support. So I believe it's possible for other conservatives to get films on PBS, and we should demand that they put them on when they're sufficient quality.
Everybody should watch Created Equal. Everybody should read your new book, Created Equal. But give us an elevator pitch for a couple of your earlier shows, and I want to mention them because this is a National Review podcast. My National Review colleague Richard Brookhiser worked with you on documentaries based on his biographies about George Washington and Alexander Hamilton. Those shows are quite different from Created Equal and your Clarence Thomas story. Tell us about those and why people should watch them.
We've made about 15 documentaries. They're all very different. Each subject requires a different style and form. So when Rick worked with us on those two films, we developed this style of looking at not just telling the story of these great Americans, George Washington and Alexander Hamilton, but looking at how they impact on the present and how people understand these people today. So in the Hamilton one, because he he dealt with a financial crisis in the 1990s, and when Rick and I were filming that documentary, it was 2008, so we went to then, in the middle of a new financial crisis, and we went to then Secretary of the Treasury Hank Paulson and asked him what he thinks Secretary of the Treasury Alexander Hamilton would do in such a crisis and what he would think, what he thinks Hamilton would have thought of what he did. Similarly, Hamilton was shot in a duel over honor. We went to people who had been in gunfights over honor, former gang members, and asked them what they thought of the Hamilton-Burr duel, and they had actually a lot to say. So we try to make it both entertaining and relevant and but historically accurate. And Rick, I have to say, was a delight to work with. He's, as you know well, a charming person with a lot of grace, and he dealt really well with a wide variety of people, from gang members to Treasury secretaries. And that film also had Rupert Murdoch and Gore Vidal and other challenging figures. So Rick was great. Anyone who likes Rick and anyone who likes Washington or Hamilton should watch those shows. They are particularly appropriate to show to your children and grandchildren if you want to understand the founding. And I beseech your listeners to look at our website and where you can purchase any of our other shows. There are about 15 of them. They're often about American history or American politics.
And Michael, very quickly, what is the website?
It's manifoldproductions.com, M-A-N-I-F-O-L-D, productions, P-R-O-D-U-C-T-I-O-N-S.com.
Our guest is Michael Pack. The book is Created Equal, Clarence Thomas in His Own Words. Michael, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.
Thanks to all of you for listening. If you enjoyed this show, please take a minute to leave a review. Your reviews help new listeners discover us, and it helps us keep this show going. We'll be back next week with a new episode of The Bookmonger.